And we're staying with that story because we're joined by James Waterhouse, BBC Ukraine correspondent. James, if I can pick up this mineral deal which has been discussed between President Trump and President Zelensky today, what do we know about it at this stage? It certainly looks a hell of a lot better than the initial proposal which came out a number of days ago.
It's better, but it's hardly what Ukraine dearly wants. You're right that Donald Trump initially demanded $500 billion worth of mineral aid for of natural minerals for military aid past and present. Now it seems that in principle, President Zelensky will sign a piece of paper that will see America and Ukraine jointly own a fund, which will get profits from oil and gas, natural minerals, and that will be reinvested into Ukraine. Beyond that, by way of specifics, we don't have much. But what is missing are security guarantees, as you've heard. And the question being asked here is, well, what is in it for Ukraine? President Zelensky is going to go there. And the impression you got from him at a press conference before he left was that this is less the culmination of weeks of negotiations. This is more of a Hail Mary. It's more of a punt where he is going to try and look Donald Trump in the eye and say, look, are you in? Are you going to help us or are you not? I don't think the signing of this document is guaranteed. It may well be because of the damage, the burning of such an important bridge for Ukraine and Europe. And Ukraine is under pressure from some European allies to play ball with Donald Trump. But this is a politically very difficult situation for Ukraine's leader, who, as critics say, is at risk of throwing away his country's future wealth for nothing.
I mean, the difficulty in a negotiation with President Trump is as he says something, a real statement of intent, and then can change his mind. And in the past 48 hours, President Trump has been saying maybe there will be a peace deal between Ukraine and Russia, and maybe there won't. So that leaves it a very difficult situation to try and negotiate when you're not quite sure where the ground stands.
I agree. I think when you're trying to decipher what Donald Trump is saying, I mean, I was watching his press conference with Keir Starmer yesterday, and you know, he was asked, is President Zelensky still a dictator? And he said, did I say that? Did I? Oh, I don't know. He talked about having a great respect for each other between himself and Ukraine's leader. But it's still, as far as Ukraine's concerned, too tenuous. If you're talking about American companies being in Ukraine and where they're going to dig to use Donald Trump's language, and he trusts Vladimir Putin to not break an agreement, they're not going to want to mess with us if we're there. If you're Ukraine, you need specifics. You need to know what air defenses you might provide, what troop backup you would give if there was a ceasefire to collapse. And at the moment, Ukraine is some distance from that. But the inescapable fact is that he has to engage with the White House, because without it, I think Ukraine would still fight, but it would be a whole lot more difficult.
But do we actually know even what a US backstop is? Is it that declaration that we will enter Ukraine should Russia reinvade? Is it that simple? Or is it you were giving a breakdown there of some statistics?
I think it's less likely it would be American troops, just looking at the language that has come from the White House, ruling that out almost. What has also been ruled out is NATO membership, which is something like Ukraine wants more than anything. You have the likes of the UK saying we'd put boots on the ground and aircraft in the air, but it needs others in Europe to follow suit. France has said it would. But as far as America is concerned, if you look at what Europe is asking America for, it's talking about a safety net, a backstop, which means, outwardly at least, that if there are European troops in Ukraine, Russia remained on a war footing, tried to invade the country again, then America just might step in. What would it be in the form of? Airstrikes? Perhaps. Providing more air defense systems, missile launchers? Probably. But it's this lack of detail which will only favor Russia, because it knows where it stands on its desire of wanting still to take the whole of Ukraine. There's no evidence to counter that, and we're seeing now a drastic, frantic recalibration between Europe and America as they try to work out who's going to commit what once or if this war ends.
Given the British Prime Minister has just met with President Trump and he's now convened a meeting of European leaders at the weekend, is it likely that at that point, maybe on Sunday, we'll have a clearer idea of where things stand?
We might do, but I think there is still division within Europe as to who is going to want to provide direct military help in Ukraine. Now, you've got Poland that wants Ukraine to kind of just do what America says in that regard and calmly have a constructive conversation. You've got Germany wants to, you know, after the German elections, wants to see a more independent Europe, free of America in some senses.
Yeah.
But there are other countries that are less keen to put troops on the ground because of fears of it being in direct confrontation with Russia.
James Waterhouse, BBC Ukraine correspondent, thank you very much for joining us.